When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everybody, I'm Molly Wood.
Oh, are you? I'm Tom Merritt.
I am today, still. Welcome to... I did a little check. I did a self-check.
Oh, good. We have confirmation.
Welcome to It's a Thing, everyone. The weekly podcast supported by you, where we believe that quality is customer satisfaction. Mm. In order to implement our corporate quality policy, all It's a Thing hosts are expected to... know the listeners' needs and expectations, and commit to continuous improvement. Thanks for joining us.
Are we?
I kind of need to read this again with the punctuation because it's so amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this like I'm talking to my phone.
Yeah.
In order to implement our corporate quality policy, all It's a Thing hosts are expected to, know the listeners' needs and expectations, and... commit to continuous improvement.
Why is there a comma after the and?
Why is there a semicolon after expectations?
Yes. Where does it start?
What is happening?
Yeah.
And also, why, even though this sounds like it's from that show Severance, or like the most dystopian workplace you've ever heard in your life, why is this the about page for Unicomp mechanical keyboards?
Because that's just how dedicated they are. Why do you think keyboards are so popular? Because of this dedication to the clicky keyboard.
Goodness.
These are the folks, PCKeyboard.com, they make the new Model M, like the old IBM classic, but they make the new version of it, according to our producer, Rich.
Now I'm on the page and I'm down the rabbit hole.
They are dedicated to their users' needs.
Are a small business. We manufacture our products in Kentucky. To compete successfully against products made in Asia, we must focus on producing the highest quality products at the lowest possible cost.
We are passionate about clicky-clacky.
Clickety.
Which, and clacky. To be fair, so are a lot of you and myself. Clickety-clacky.
I'm scared. You know what? I don't want to run afoul of these kind folks and their great keyboard development, so I'm just going to keep my punctuation thoughts to myself.
I think they just wanted to show off the punctuation on their keyboard. They're like, we got all these keys. We should use them.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's a really good call.
It's product demonstration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Committed to continuous improvement.
Continuous, improvement.
Committed, to semicolon, continuous, improvement.
See, now you're just getting in trouble.
All right. Before I get in trouble too, let's move on to my first thing, which I've been sitting on this one for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think I might be early on it, but I've still got a vibe that you're going to be in a situation somewhere and someone's going to mention this and you're going to be able to say like, oh yeah, I heard about that.
Okay.
LTK Shop. Mm-hmm. Is a shop made up of influencers. How could it not make news?
Stop it.
So it is a shop of thousands of products tried and styled by real people, influencers. So you can go there. If you go to their main page, you can go to search by family, fitness, curves, home. But all of the stuff is put there by influencers. So dozens of photos, new outfits, the models of the outfits are influencers. So it's bringing the audience of these people from Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, et cetera, into the shop and then mixing them all up. Like, hey, you came here for Beauty Professor, but you might like what Authentically Be has to sell too.
Whoa. I can't believe I don't know about this. This is amazing. Apparently, it was previously known as Like to Know. The LTK comes from Like to Know, as in about it, shop. Wow.
And I don't know what the back end is on this because they talk about the brands they have And some of them you're like, oh yeah, L'Oreal. Okay, sure. I could see you stop. But Nordstrom, Target, Madewell, like this almost feels like an affiliate program on steroids.
Oh, it really does. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at. Yeah. So it's like, oh, here's Abercrombie.
Uh-huh.
So it's creators curating. I mean, this is freaking genius. I'm a little mad I didn't think of this.
as a startup idea, right?
Right. Or that didn't get to invest in it because it is 100%. I mean, affiliate. Oh, God. I was about to do investor talk. I'm like, I mean, affiliate revenue can only take you so far. Like, this is, you know, great little $20 million business or whatever.
But just do it. Do it some more. It's so fun.
I mean, you know, the worst business for, you know, a VC to see is a perfectly good $20 to $40 million business because, you know, you're just not going to 10x that. You're like, maybe you're going to 5x it, but it's not 100xer. It's not power law.
This is my new favorite thing. Chat Molly VC.
My brother and I have this whole pattern that we do actually about hockey. Like he's got a whole accent and I feel like I'm doing a version of it. Where
yeah, you're
like,
doing the hockey accent. I can tell.
Two goal leads, most dangerous. You lead hockey, eh? You need to catch up and put the good wood on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the two-goal lead guy. Chat Motley VC. Oh, my God. Anyway, brilliant. Cannot wait to shop there constantly, although everything is a little bit too influencer for me.
It's very influencer. That is the thing.
Pretty influencer. They're,
they have an under $50 category. That's the lowest it goes.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's pretty basic. It's kind of basic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it. And I'm definitely still going to shop there. Ugh, that is
over
incredible.
10 million people use LTK to get updated when their favorite styles go on sale.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, good one. And I can already tell that I think you've probably hit it just in time. It's amazing.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so. I saw this Bloomberg article last month in early February. And I kept looking for another sign, but I didn't see one, but I don't know. I'm just feeling like, you know what? I think it's still going to hit. Mm-hmm. And it could hit in multiple ways. It could hit in like, oh, did you hear about LTK shop? It's the huge thing, right? It could become that. Or it could hit in like, did you hear how LTK shop went down in flames? I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying I get the vibe. It could go either way, but I feel like it's going to make news somehow.
I agree. I definitely agree. Or it's just going to be, where did you get that? Oh my God, I found it on LTK. Do you know about
it's
this?
The it's secret
like all the
place.
Curator stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, I also am being influenced today, or all of us and cooking. I'm trying to do less shopping, more cooking. And I have noticed recently that a lot of recipes seem to be a variation on French onion.
Oh, like French onion soup?
Like French onion soup. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah. That's the one with the cheese melted over the top.
Mm-hmm. Caramelized onions, like an oniony beef broth base,
mm-hmm.
bread, layer of toasted bread, and then cheese melted on top of that. Yeah. It's like the greatest food in the world, but it's an old French classic. And so I was like, why does my like neighborhood yummy French dinner joint have a French onion burger that has caramelized onions under the cheese, which is genius.
Yeah.
And then somebody made like...
Isn't that just a cheeseburger with onions? I guess they're caramelized. Okay.
They're caramelized.
Yeah.
And it's Gruyere.
It makes a difference. Yeah.
And it's Gruyere.
Of course. You know,
it's the type of cheese. Right. Zibafrange. And then somebody made something that sort of looked like a French onion pot pie almost, like similar to French. So then I was like, what is happening? And then finally, I saw an article that explained it all, which is that there is a French onion pasta recipe that has taken TikTok by storm. And that has caused everybody to be talking about French onion. And of course, as is the way of the world now, figuring out new ways to bastardize French onion creation into other foods, which I am here for. I want to be perfectly clear. This pasta sounds incredible.
I love the flavor profile of French onion. I think yes, you could throw stones and say caramelized onions have existed in a lot of dishes. Just, you know, throwing them in a pasta doesn't make it French onion. But if it has that taste, then it does make it French onion.
Surely it totally, yeah, exactly. Because one, it's caramelized onions, but two, it's like thyme. Mm-hmm. You can do a little sherry. You need, there's like a specific, and Gruyere. Like you want that. It's kind of a sour, it's like not as umami as, I mean, I like it when it's very umami, but you know, the flavor profile isn't. Surely Labrat points out in the Discord that Trader Joe's has a French onion mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. It is a freaking thing. Pioneer Woman, which like has nailed it, by the way, as the recipe site SEO queen, because this is what always comes up when you search for recipes, as of March 3rd, has a piece on, oh, I tried the one pot French onion pasta that's all over TikTok. It's just.
Yeah. This is a thing. Everywhere. You nailed it. This is definitely a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's like one of those times when you're just like, I don't really have anything more to say about it except that it's a thing.
Except French onion. You will see it in Flaming Hot Cheetos soon, probably, but you'll see it everywhere.
Oh, wait, when is this article from? Hold on, I got to see. No, that's from before, from the Spruce.
You're going to go to a restaurant, folks, and there's going to be a French onion thing on the menu, and you're going to be nodding. You're like, yeah, I knew.
You're going to be like,
Molly told me about this.
I know. It's not just soup anymore. No, mm-hmm. No. French onion is for whatever.
I mean, I guess it's been, the only thing I could think of it's been before now is French onion chips. There have been like potato chips that are French onion flavored. Come and go, right?
Yum.
But yeah, this is kind of a new wave for the French onion flavor.
I just found a recipe for French onion chicken. Yum.
Melt that cheese over the chicken. That's a good Frenchy thing to do. Yeah.
Oh my god, this looks that. So good. Nom 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 nom.
Croque Madame French onion.
Want to eat all of the things. Anyway, there you go. You're welcome.
This is now what we get when we do it late in the day before dinner.
But before dinner, right, exactly. It's like, just it's too early, but
too
also
far
too
from
late.
Lunch, too close to dinner.
Totally.
Well, all of that eating is going to cause you to want my next thing.
Oh.
Ozempic.
Oh no. And also Ozempic, yes.
Ozempic. Sing it with me, everyone. You've heard the commercial. Even if you don't even have cable TV, somehow it has permeated your brain, I'm almost certain. And this has been kicking around. It's definitely a thing. I don't think there's any question about that. The question is whether we're late to it, but we certainly need to, you know, put it on the record as a thing. If you are unfamiliar, Ozempic is the brand name for a medicine that is used to treat diabetes, but people found out that even if you don't have diabetes, it's an appetite suppressant. And I think Chelsea Handler was one of the people who was raving about it that made it popular. It's certainly huge in Hollywood. Everyone's taking Ozempic, who's anyone in Hollywood. There was a joke about it in the Oscars from Jimmy Kimmel, and it is generally thought to have very few harmful side effects. You know, it no more so than the harmful side effects you have from an aspirin or ibuprofen, that kind of thing. Although you have to inject it. So right. That's the thing where I start to part ways is like, yeah, I don't think I want to stick a needle in myself three times a day. If I don't have to, I get it. If you're diabetic, you've got to, and you learn to live with it. And you're like, yeah, it doesn't end up being that big deal. But if I don't have to, I would prefer not to. But a lot of people disagree with me because this thing is hot.
Oh, it's everywhere. I know at least one person who is taking.
Oh, it's one time a week. Saray says it's only a time a week, so not three times.
Oh, yeah,
a day. I'm
it's
exaggerating.
Not like,
yeah, yeah.
Right, but good, no, you do point. Have to let's inject it.
Yep.
There's a related drug called Wegovy, Wegovy, that the FDA approved for specifically more for use around weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Wegovy is approved for adults with obesity or excess weight with at least one weight related condition, which can be high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, or high cholesterol. So it's already crept, you know, it's already had mission creep, basically, these drugs.
Yeah.
But it has been really controversial, like in the sense that there has been an Ozempic shortage. It's like actually been hard for them to make enough to keep up with people who have type 2 diabetes and need it. Although I believe I'd heard that they've caught up now with production. But it's super interesting. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. Like, it sort of, like, I think I might have mentioned it in passing when I talked about continuous glucose monitors. But I was like, I can't bring this to the show because I need Tom to bring it up first.
I'm happy to serve. I was on a podcast that posted March 15th, where they did a Name That Tune thing. And one of the tunes that neither me or the other participant on the show recognized was the original song that they based the Ozempic jingle on. And I think that was when I'm like, you know what, I'm going to have to bring this to It's a Thing, because like, as soon as he told us that, both of us were like, oh, right, Ozempic. And we started singing the Ozempic jingle. And then Kimmel made the joke about Ozempic and how everybody in the room at the Oscars was on Ozempic. And I'm like, yeah, it's almost past its peak as a thing.
Right. But totally. I mean, once it's on the Oscars. But I think that's also good to know.
Yeah. And
like, it's just good to like put up. It's good to put up, plant our flag.
The other thing to know about it is, while it doesn't seem to have any terrible side effects, so using, what's that called when you use a drug that's meant for one thing for another thing and it's fine, like that's not a bad thing, it's just like, is that off-label? Thank you, Reagan. Off-label use, as an off-label use, it doesn't seem to be a problem. And it's becoming I think it's becoming accepted.
Well, Wegovy, right. With Wegovy, it's like on-label use.
Right,
I mean,
right,
assuming
right.
that you, I guess with Wegovy in theory, it's that you have some sort of thing related to it, not just people in Hollywood are using it for, which is like, I want to be skin air.
But the problem is, if you are simply using it for weight loss, when you go off of it, you gain the weight back. Like that is pretty, they found that to be pretty reliably true as well. Mm. Like you need to keep using it. And while it doesn't seem to have any long-term effects of use,
we don't really know.
Nobody's been using it long enough to be sure. So
there is a way to come off it. I know this because I interviewed a startup founder of a company that is offering this kind of services to specifically to diabetics now, but she had emailed me and said, oh, I heard people talking about how you can't come off it because it'll just stop, you know, you'll just gain it all back. And she was like, that's not true, but it does take a regimen.
Well, sure.
As with all things.
I was right. Well, yeah. Losing weight without Ozempic. So I'm like, I mean, that's fair. It's like, oh, if you transition from Ozempic to a regimen, maybe you can't keep it off. And that's, if Ozempic is the thing that helps you finally get it off and then you're motivated to do the regimen to keep it off, then that is a benefit. Sure.
Well, and it could just be a regimen to get off it. I don't necessarily mean, I mean, obviously, like if you want to keep weight off, it's not like you can stop taking Ozempic and then eat pizza three times a day. Like, clearly.
Right. And the way Ozempic works, oversimplifying, is it shuts down the craving so that you don't want to eat the pizza. And then when you go off the Ozempic, you want to eat the pizza. So the question is, can you resist the urge? The whole point of using Ozempic for weight loss is, oh, you don't have to do a regimen. You don't have to resist the urge anymore. It just takes the urge away.
Right. Totally. Yeah, it's super interesting. And it really is. I mean, I think we're just finally starting to figure out some root causes of weight gain we're understanding it as a more complex conversation and condition, frankly, that leads to a like keeping weight off as a preventative measure that can save the American economy a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
It leads to a lot of ill health effects. And there's a lot about, I think, metabolism and hormone interaction and blood sugar, like we were talking about with continuous glucose monitoring, that is not well understood, because we basically just say to people, like, you have shitty self-control. It's your problem.
Yeah. And that's the one thing
that's changing. And
that we're finally realizing isn't true.
Right.
It's almost never, maybe it is sometimes, but it's almost never bad self-control. Usually it's that your brain continues to tell you to eat. And you can say, well, then you should just not eat. Easy for you to say, tell that to the alcoholic not to drink, you know, tell that to the compulsive gambler not to gamble. It's seemingly more similar to that, where your brain is making it painful not to fulfill the urge to eat, because that was a survival mechanism when food was scarce. And now the food is not scarce. In fact, not only not scarce, but even in impoverished areas, the cheap food is the easiest for your body to metabolize and store as fat. It may not have a lot of nutrition in it, but you know, those cheap potato chips and stuff, they will come onto your fat cells with abandon, and your brain will say more of that because it used to be scarce and it's not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So I am all for, I mean, this is the third, like, I think probably the Uber thing we've talked about now, counting macros, continuous glucose monitors and Ozempic. And it seems like the Uber thing is a new approach to weight loss, which I'm all in favor of.
Yeah. Treating weight loss as not a psychological issue and not, you know, not a psychological cause like willpower and, and not something that you should do just for image, but for health.
Right.
Those two things are very, are finally coming to the fore, and that's very important.
It's great. Yep. Which is great because, you know, let them cook.
Because we want to be able to let them cook.
I can't believe the, other than LTK shop where I'm just going to be shopping, again, accidental story arc. But this isn't really related to food. But my second thing is this saying, let him cook, which is everywhere. And yes, I have a little more background, but it's a total meme. And if you've heard people saying, let him cook or let them cook, let that boy cook is a thing.
If you're if you're hurrying Molly in her explanation right now, let her cook.
Just let me cook. Yeah. Let me cook. Not so much. No one's really saying that. Mm-mm. But let him cook. Let that boy cook. Let them cook. Definitely a thing. And it seems to have, it's kind of like, you know, give them some space to plot. I'm looking from MSN.com, which had a little like a sport, you know, with like a know your meme. It's from Know Your Meme originally. Akin to giving someone the room to plot, strategize, and hone their craft. Think of it like this. Imagine that your friend is flirting with someone and another person is about to interrupt them. You'd have to hold back that person and say, let him cook, inferring that your friend needs room to seal the deal. This evidently comes from way back. It's just being popularized. It really is. Like, it's gotten a lot more popular in the last, like, just couple months. But it came from a rap song back in 2010. Internet rapper Lil B, also known as the Based God, posted a music video on YouTube back in 2010 called Lil B Based Cooking, Let That Boy Cook. And then now there's all of this.
A meme 13 years in the making.
Right?
That is a meme that they let cook.
And I don't know why it's just hitting now. And now people are using it like, look at you. See? Amazing. It is predominantly used in an ironic sense. For example, I've seen memes, but my son sent me one the other day, a basketball one that was like, what do all of these players have in common? And then it was a compilation of all of them crossing up and scoring on Steph Curry. And it said, cook and curry.
Nice.
This was pretty funny.
Tasty, too. Yeah.
And then it's like, chicken tickle. Don't, like, why did you let him cook if he screwed it up?
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. Why did you let him cook?
There's a variant. I think part of the reason it got really big is because somehow it started to involve Russell Westbrook, who's the quarterback for the Broncos, not the football player.
Okay.
But he didn't do very well. And then fans and critics started saying, let Russ cook. Even though he doesn't, like, it's a whole, like, this is kind of one of those sayings that it's good to know about, but like, believe me when I tell you, you're probably going to use it wrong. Cause there's like layers of irony that the kids are baking in here.
Yeah. Yeah. The amount of eye rolls just in us talking about it right now has multiplied by 6.
Oh yeah. An eyeball just rolled under my chair.
Yeah.
From just like from the ether.
Yeah. So
it's, yeah, it's like, it's not quite like free him, but like it kind of is.
Yeah. One to know, not use is what you're saying.
I would say like for now. Mm-hmm.
And use wisely.
You know, or use like with maybe caution. Do some observing out in the world before you decide to deploy.
Before you roll it out. Don't be like me.
Just take it.
Unless your thing is constantly misusing everything, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know,
Then it's just part of your deal.
It would be okay. Like if you saw somebody that you didn't care for humiliating themselves in public over and over or whatever, and someone said, oh, someone should stop them. And then you were just like,
you're like, spill the tea on the cook. No cap.
Even I lost an eye over that one.
All right, let's get to your things because they are amazing. Feedback at itsathing.me. Richard Gunther, now in D.C. adjacent Northern Virginia, home to Bob and Edith's, wrote in to get on the record with a food thing. He says, this may be past peak, but have you discussed Brussels sprouts before? Ooh. Once reviled by many, steakhouses and trendy farm-to-table restaurants revived these gross little cabbage balls, making them palatable by breeding out the bitterness, then caramelizing them with bacon, onions, and other additions. Dare I inject that they are French onion Brussels sprouts? Now they're absolutely everywhere, sautéed, broiled, grilled, as sides or appetizers in food trucks, even featured in TikTok recipes, so I am told.
That's so funny because I feel like in the Bay Area, we've been Brusselified for a while.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, it is a really just like, it is the standard side, even in food trucks. Like the food truck thing is what really got me. I'm like, oh, maybe it really did spread.
Yeah. I think it's gone from like, oh, I'm at a fancy restaurant. They have a Brussels sprout side to like, oh, this restaurant is in the mainstream hip.
It's everything.
So right, Brussels sprouts. Therefore, Brussels sprout. ... Brussels sprouts. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And also gross little cabbage balls is the best thing I've ever heard. That's hysterical.
The Tavala meals that I get are increasingly using Brussels sprouts as a side. And if it's not salad, it's either salad or a Brussels sprout for the green side.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm fine with that. I like them and I'm hungry. Gabby had to write in to comment on Temu. You are so correct about Temu. I can't remember if it's Facebook or Instagram, but I've been getting ads for Temu constantly. I had the exact same thought. It's the new Wish.
Yes.
Totally.
Temu.
Yep. I will not load Temu into my browser. I will not. You cannot make me shop more.
You need to keep what money is left in your bank account there.
I do. Just hold tight.
Thank you, Gabby. On Discord, Eric Jones gave us a thing confirmation from Japan. Hello, you reported on doggy prams as a thing in the U.S. It's been a thing here in Japan. I find it annoying when seeing young in their prime dogs being pushed around. It's anarchy, I say. I've been seeing this since 2003 when I returned for work.
Oh my goodness. That is silly. I mean, I understand if you've got, you know, like a, I don't know, one of those dogs that can't breathe when it has to walk too far, yeah, or an old dog or something, but like a young, healthy dog in the stroller is incredible.
I mean, that's lux, right?
It's anarchy. That's right. They're living the dream. Let them cook.
I'm just going to keep using it intentionally wronger and wronger every time.
Exactly. And then Ryan in Minneapolis writes in with a potential thing confirmed. Is mocktail officially a thing when the New York Times crossword uses it?
Absolutely. Yes, Ryan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. The clue was 62 across, non-alcoholic mixed drink, or a hint to the synonyms found at the ends of blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It was a New York Times clue. Yep. It's arrived.
Done. Slash is over. Underlined and thinged.
Thank you for the emails, everybody. Feedback at itsathing.me is where you can tell us the French onion bastardizations that have been cropping up on your Instagram feed, because I will eat them all. And if you want to support the show, patreon.com/itsathing is where you can do so. And in fact, if you support the show at the shout out level, oh my goodness, do we try hard to make it worth your while.
we let Rich Straffolito cook up our shout outs every week based on something that we find hilarious. And this week he has not disappointed us. Rich has based the shout outs on the story setting in the manual for the Sega Genesis game Shining Force.
Wow.
This is the description of the setting of the story for the game Shining Force for the Sega Genesis.
Okay. All right. I'll kick us off. The southern kingdom of Miranda Janelle has long been a bastion of peace and knowledge, as well as the kingdom which guards the gate of AJ Venturella. and historic gate to an unknown Mike Akins. The oldest Lee Price kept in the Royal Library is many hundreds of years old and tells of a great battle between the force of Eric Duncan and Gabrielle Cohen. The Great Book of Ancient Joe Hood, one of the oldest books in the world of Laura Abel, says that just before Dark Jake Woods was thrust into an alternate dimension, he said he would return in 1,000 years to reclaim James C. Smith as his own.
Many people have forgotten about this ancient Kevin Sill, but the kingdom of Morris Jones, once a fair and just kingdom, has begun attacking and taking control of the kingdoms of Louis Saint-Amour. King Andrew Bradley was once a good man, but it is now rumored that he has slowly been corrupted and twisted by the evil, dark Benjamin Forrest, a great wizard and a powerful warrior.
Wow.
I'm one of
also, I spy with my little eye, new shout-out
patron. Yes, the gate of A.J. Venturella.
The gate of A.J. Venturella, which will also always be an historic gate to us.
I also want to read the Great Book of Ancient Joe Hood.
I kind of do, too. Yeah. I would read that. What's I'm all
there?
Over that.
What's in that? Let me see it. Let me hear it.
This is just like how every video game cutscene is the movie that I want to watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm bad at the game.
No, exactly.
Because
they're like, oh, we only have to do paragraphs? We can make it sound amazing.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll read this fantasy story. Oh, that's all you got? Oh, okay.
Rich says, AJ's been a patron for a while, but just stepped up to the shout-out level. So,
My goodness. Well done. Thank you, AJ. Thank you. You are the best. All of you who support the show at any level are the greatest. Patreon.com/itsathing keeps us going and gets you access to our Discord where you can chat with your fellow patrons every week when we record, plus an ad-free RSS feed and bonus content.
You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Look for them in the show notes at our shopping page, itsathing.me/shop. You can also email us your things, feedback@itsathing.me.
It's no LTK shop, but we like to think it's more carefully curated.
It's like a hyper curated LTK shop.
Hyper curated.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Gonna break down now. Can't hold it back. Gonna break down now.
I love it when we end on the breakdown.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.